Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast, your go-to listening for everything travel. Here are your Travel Pulse hosts, Eric Bowman and Dan Callahan.
Happy Travel Tuesday, podcast listeners. This is Eric Bowman, managing editor of TravelPulse.com. Thanks for listening, as always, joined by my co-host, Dan Callahan. Dan, how are you doing this Tuesday?
Doing good. The weather looks great out here. Puts me in a better mood. I did some yoga stretching with my wife this morning for the first time ever. And don't know if I'll ever be doing that again. But everything has been going great. So what do we got coming up here on today's episode, Eric?
That's great, Dan. Yeah, yoga is good. I've been doing it for my back, and it helps wonders. So don't give up just yet. You know, you might be stiff right now, but you know, give it a go. So coming up today on the show, we're going to get into what's trending. Our interview segment today is with Stephen Scott, travel advisor. We're going to be talking luxury travel, what the future holds there, and some possible luxury travel destinations that you might want to consider. Looking forward to that. But first, Dan. We had some feedback that we want to address from last week.
Yeah, we've been getting a few good reviews recently on iTunes and other places people listen to podcasts. So if you're into doing that, know how to do it, just feel free to leave us a review. If you listen to this in your podcast app, wherever you listen, leave us a good review. It'll help other people get in touch with it and be able to see it as well. So leave us a review. Shoot any feedback you have to us directly. The email is podcast@travelpulse.com. We do have some listeners that were reaching out about a number of different topics here. I think the one I wanted to bring up from an avid listener who was saying that I was being pessimistic about cruising. Now, basically saying pessimistic about cruising in terms of I have a higher chance of catching the virus at a hotel, which she said Clea said, which I don't know if that's true or not, Eric. But either way, she was saying if I have a higher chance of catching a virus in a hotel or a grocery store, which I was personally saying I wouldn't go on a cruise just because I feel like I could get a more bang for my buck as a traveler doing something else at this current time. Now, if you're a travel advisor that's still cranking out these cruise bookings, which we'll talk about how they're on the rise in 2021 with new bookings and future cruise credit bookings, we'll talk about that a little bit. And if you're in that mode and you're selling cruises left and right, have a huge client base and everything, that's great. Continue to sell them. They're going to bounce back. For me, from a traveler perspective right now, I didn't really see that I would want to go on there, especially seeing some comments from executives at different cruise companies that are possibly saying that you would have to wear a face mask mandatory at all times anywhere outside of your cabin on a cruise and stuff like that. And I feel like if I wanted to travel and really get out there for my pent up demand to get out of my house, I feel like as a traveler, my bang for my buck would be best suited elsewhere at this current time. Now, if that's a little more pessimistic, more realistic, I think, about cruising, just wanted to address that real quick and say that, I'm not bashing cruising or anything here. And if you're, in that mode and you're doing great, continue to do great, more power to you. That was just me personally thinking there. But, we got a lot to talk about cruising here, Eric. So before we actually get into cruising, too, other listener comments who came from my always traveling mother, who was actually on an Amtrak train going up and down the Northeast Corridor today. And she says that everybody is wearing masks. Every single seat, every single thing that you could possibly touch is all sanitized, top to bottom, smells completely clean, all like cleaning products on there. Everything is all good for anybody traveling by Amtrak. So Amtrak, we haven't talked about train travel on here, but definitely wanted to throw out there, if you want to take a train, go and do something a little bit different, Amtrak seems to be a good place to go. Socially distanced, even though there's a lot of people, they keep the distance, it's all clean, so it's all good on Amtrak for anybody interested.
That actually is a good take there, right? If you don't feel comfortable being on a plane, might consider a train ride. Check out some national parks for socially distant vacation ideas. Labor Day is coming up. We're going to talk about that a little bit later as far as what is trending. But first, you mentioned a little bit there with cruising, Dan. That's what we're diving right into. Carnival CEO says that he thinks it's too early to tell if cruises will resume in 2020 at all. We said this on the past couple of weeks. We just don't think it's actually going to happen in 2020. It'd be great if they launch out in November, maybe December. Get your Caribbean vacation on. You snowbirds, I love to venture out. But personally, I just don't. The way everything is shaped up this year, I just don't know that's going to happen. But we do have some good news for cruising. Cruise bookings are on the rise for 2021, as Dan previously mentioned. From a piece that Teresa Norton did on TravelPulse.com, she interviewed some cruise companies and some agencies as well, and companies are seeing a solid momentum for 2021 bookings overall as compared to the same time last year. And from the agencies, what they're telling us is that about 60% of bookings are new and not from future cruise credits, which is just fantastic to hear. So we've got that good news for 2021 pushing ahead, but I don't think it's going to happen in 2020. So, you know, set it up. If you're interested in cruising, 2021 is going to be a great year for cruising. A lot of new stuff coming out. We did just have a cruise take off this past weekend in the Mediterranean, MSC Cruises. They COVID tested all crew and passengers beforehand. Royal Caribbean actually came out and said they're going to be doing the same thing with COVID testing before sailings. And that is absolutely the right call. I think it needs to be done industry-wide. Things are going to get a little tricky, though, when you do leave the ship to various ports. For those that were actually on the MSC Mediterranean cruise, if they got off the ship at all, they actually had to have a chaperone with them at all times. I don't know if that's going to be translated to industry-wide for everyone to set that up if you get off in the port. I have a really hard time seeing many Americans being okay with that if they do that in the Caribbean at all. So, Dan, what is your take there on a chaperone in 2021 booking?
Honestly, I don't know what's the purpose of the chaperone. Are they going to have some goggles on that could spot a virus and make sure nobody goes near it? What is the chaperone going to do? Like, make sure they don't go to certain parts of the city that, I don't see the purpose of having a chaperone as it relates to everything that's been going on with the virus.
I guess to ensure that you stay with your mask on and you hand sanitize everywhere you go.
Oh, well then,
to kind of, it's more of a babysitter, I guess, to make sure that you're above following the rules. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's like, if you're, you know, good enough to go on a cruise and go about all the different hoops you got to jump through to, you know, make everything happen and enjoy your travel experience. I would imagine most of these people are taking it seriously. They're going to be following the protocols. A lot of these people are avid cult cruisers, and they are going to listen to what the companies they spend a lot of their good hard-earned money with. They're going to listen to the guidelines. They're going to follow them. I'm going to say, you know, the large majority, overwhelming majority of these people are going to do that. And I don't think they're going to be too, you know, big with having a chaperone on them. Now, if they try and disguise the chaperone as like their own personal tour guide or something, that's a whole different story. That would be interesting if other cruise companies came out and did that, because I did see MSC getting a little bit of backlash over this. But that's the thing with travel advisors, and travel advisors out there listening, which a large majority of our listeners are our travel advisors, is knowing these things that come with the different cruise lines. And MSC is one of the first ones, you know, to get back in the water out there. There's other smaller lines that have been doing it, but knowing what comes with every single one so that your guests have the most optimal, enjoyable experience they possibly can, whether it's with MSC where you have a chaperone, or Carnival CEO alluding to possibly mandating that everybody wear a mask at all times on their ships. Stuff like that, where, you know, if you're booking somebody, make sure they're cool with that. And that's what I was referring to before. And, you know, a lot of those things, I think I would just, you know, prefer to do another type of travel, because there's so many types of amazing travel experiences you can have. But make sure you know what's going on here when you're booking your clients there. I know so many of you already know that, but it's just good to reiterate this, just because we see and hear so many horror stories of things that happen after the fact.
Definitely. So people, as we know, are missing traveling. Amex Trendex came out from American Express and found that Americans miss travel so much that it's taking an emotional toll on many. Nearly half of those surveyed reported that the inability to travel at present time is causing them to feel anxious and stressed, which we put up on our Facebook and got some interesting feedback. Well, I want to kind of read a couple of comments here, Dan. As Michelle said that she's planning a September trip to Mexico today. She can't believe it's been 9 months since she had a vacation. It has been taking a major toll on her ability to tolerate others. And Laura came out and said, it's certainly causing me more stress. So sad that I had to cancel my May vacation to Mexico. Our family vacations keep all of our sanity. So a couple interesting comments there. Emotional toll for a lot of people. I totally get that. So if Labor Day is coming up, if you don't feel comfortable traveling just yet, that's totally okay. But, you know, do some virtual travel, do some stuff where you can hopefully at ease that anxiousness and stress levels. We definitely don't want those to continue to rise.
Yeah. And I think, you know, nowadays, I think all the older people, like, yeah, you young kids get anxious and have emotional tolls over every little thing these days. But yeah, I could definitely see how these people just love to travel. And it's not even just traveling, just getting out of their house in general. You know, pretty sure people in my household are getting having an emotional toll over me not leaving the house as much either. So but it did see in here, too, there, you know, a lot of the spending trends that were highlighted in this article, too. You know, a lot of the Amex cardholders are choosing to stay closer to home. More than half of the hotel bookings were made in their home state or a nearby region. Last minute bookings are becoming a norm as well. Less than 2 weeks ahead of travel is when they're seeing the two thirds of them booking, compared to only about half of bookings coming in within that time frame of 2 weeks ahead of travel. So a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of things that are changing. Obviously, you know, a lot of things changing more for the domestic side of things as well. But no, it's all good to see. And I think people, this pent up demand is that thing that we said you're going to be hearing a lot more of. It was the new normal. Now it's just pent up demand, and you're hearing it across the industry, blanketed in any type of travel right now. And, you know, it's definitely being seen throughout these surveys and polls that come out.
And we know that people still are going to be traveling and still going to be out there. A new study revealed where Americans actually want to go on Labor Day. I'm very intrigued to see a couple of days after Labor Day what kind of the numbers are for airlines and what TSA experiences, how many passengers they put through and all of that, because just to compare it to how it was for Memorial Day and July 4th, those, you know, your big summer holiday travel weekend plans there. So we do know that Americans are going to be the number one flight actually this year being booked so far for Labor Day is Las Vegas, Denver, Orlando, Chicago, and Seattle round out the top five. Other trending Labor Day vacation spots include Florida, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Hawaii. You do have to quarantine though if you're headed to Hawaii. Make sure you are aware of that. They're actually going to be potentially pushing back tourism reopening past September 1st, which is what they were targeting, but now it's looking like it could be even further as cases are rising there, and they're taking a very cautious stance there. But bigger cities like San Francisco, LA, and New York City dropped on this list in comparison to years past because of coronavirus concerns. So if you are going to travel for Labor Day and you want a socially distant kind of vacation ideas, we put that up on Travel Pulse. You can check that out. We're going to be sharing it to Facebook later this week too on 10 socially distant Labor Day vacation ideas for those people who are interested in traveling. So, yeah. Do you have any Labor Day plans? Are you traveling at all? Doing the staycation for Labor Day? Yeah. I myself will be hitting the lake, and I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. You got lakes down there in Georgia you hit up?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually going to South Carolina, just a little state over, and my in-laws have a houseboat, so we'll be socially distant and away from, and get to stay away from crowds and do it up on a houseboat. Looking forward to that. So sweet. I do actually live near a lake. I live near Lake Lanier, but I try not to go out on Lake Lanier. It is, as some people think, it is haunted. I don't think it's haunted. I think it's a bit cursed, but I don't do too much there. So
yeah, I'm going to actually next week, I'm going to be off and I'm going to be in a, I'll keep the location disclosed for now. I'm going to leave a little bit of a mystery behind it, but I am going to be out of state next week, enjoying a spot in the U.S. that I have never been to before. But it's definitely, I can say, is not in one of these big cities that you're seeing dropping in demand as far as domestic or even just general Labor Day travel. You're seeing the places like Las Vegas. I think Vegas is on there because obviously they're open and has a lot to do, you know, that type of vibe. Then you got all the, you know, smaller markets, you know, Denver or Orlando, Disney World is there. And then you got, you know, Chicago, Seattle, I'm sure, you know, go to Portland if you want to overthrow the government, wherever you want to go, you know, and you got all these different spots that you could possibly go to, not so much in the large cities that you're used to seeing. There's so many great smaller mid-market kind of cities around the country too. So yeah, definitely check that out of socially distant Hawaii. I mean, I've seen they just are taking a beating right now as far as the cases go. I know they're probably in dead last as far as the competition amongst the states is going with the cases and rising numbers and stuff like that. And they have that quarantine in there and they're an isolated island, and it's kind of it's wild how that's happening. So hopefully they turn things around quickly here. They're going to continue to take a beating, and that goes right in line with all the cruise stuff. A lot of cruises going to Hawaii too, so hopefully that all turns around to help better that whole market in general.
Definitely, we really want to see Hawaii open back up, but they want to make sure that they do it responsibly and that, you know, they don't make matters worse than they already are there, which is unfortunate. So Virtuoso Travel Week was last week, and it highlighted new travel trends shaping the future of travel. And we just kind of want to mention a few of these before we get over into our interview. So obviously one big trend that everyone is seeing, and we've noted several times on this podcast throughout, is road trips, obviously. But some other trends that Virtuoso highlighted is extended stays. People are booking longer trips. This one was pretty interesting to me. It was multifamily travel, which is in some ways now replaced multi-generational travel. So families are forming travel pods. And this quote from Misty Bells, Managing Director of Global Public Relations at Virtuoso, she said, "We are seeing vacation pods and travel pods coming up when two families or more who have the same philosophy on social distancing come together." But I thought that was pretty unique and interesting. Other trends, no turndown service, a desire to have a contactless everything from your hotel check-in to your room service, car rentals, everything. Interest in large-scale accommodations, you know, villas, larger suites, private homes. Not surprised there at all, because you can do a really good job of social distancing on that. So younger people, obviously, we've talked about this a little bit too, wanting to travel. And one thing that hasn't changed is travelers' passion for adventure. Jeffrey Kent predicts that that will be even more of an interest in the future, saying that adventure and experience is what travelers want. Major cities are going to be out, and they will, and travelers will look for villas and experiences for their entire families. So, pretty unique there, and it kind of falls in line with some of the things we've been saying on the podcast as well.
Absolutely. A lot of this stuff definitely does, you know, very good trends to see from one of the top, you know, businesses in the travel industry. So let's go ahead and see what some of the articles that have been most read in the last, since our last episode here, what we're seeing in the top couple of spots here. A lot of interest in Jamaica. Obviously, we've been talking so much about how different Caribbean islands and countries there, they're all different. They all have their own protocols and different things that they're going off of as far as restrictions and things you got to go through. But number one and number two, both Jamaica travel stories. The first one being that the Jamaican government was backtracking and will keeping tourists confined to hotels. And the second one being that U.S. upgrades Jamaica travel advisory to level 3. So if you want to read more about things that were going on there in Jamaica, a lot of interest there, head on over there. And those have been very popular amongst readers.
Yeah. And it was actually just announced today that everyone will need to present a negative COVID test to enter Jamaica. So it was previously only if you're coming from a hotspot destination. So that a lot of interest in Jamaica travel. That might be one of our most, we just are about to put that story up on Travel Pulse right now. So that might be one of the most read next week, as people really are intrigued and searching for Jamaica travel. So number three, though, is the Carnival Cruise Line previews Mardi Gras Bolt roller coaster, the first roller coaster at sea. Is a video that Carnival put together, and they went to the test track out in Germany and could ride it on there, and it looks really cool, Dan. I'm excited for this one. I can't wait to ride it one day once it is. I know it generated a lot of Facebook comments. Some people were saying absolutely not, no, hard pass. Some people are really excited about it. So it's interesting to see what the cruise world has been thinking of that. And now that we've got some good video of how it's, you're actually going to ride on it, and you can control the speed yourself. They're going to have cameras at the bottom too, so on the ride, so you can actually, it'll film your face and your reaction the entire time that you're riding on it. So that's pretty unique and pretty cool.
Oh yeah, definitely. I wasn't a big roller coaster fan myself growing up. Slowly got into them. I live near Six Flags here in New Jersey, and the roller coasters that they would throw up all over the place there were amazing and too good to pass up. So slowly got into it. I would go on this roller coaster there, but I think it's just giving a lot of people that are all about cruising at least something to talk about non-virus related. So at least there's that going for them. And I think number four here was the CDC posting the public comments that they're reaching out for people on the cruise ship restart. And I think if anybody remembers back, the CDC was begging for people to submit their comments about determining whether they should lift their no sail order or not. They, the majority of these remarks, over 1,000 of them that were received so far, were in favor of putting ships back on the sea. Obviously, a lot of these were about, you know, saying we need to learn how to live with this virus and providing statistics about it and stuff like that, which can be applied to just everyday life with businesses in general, which I agree with. What that will entail is another story. Somebody's saying everybody should sign waivers, not holding the cruise line responsible. It's like, I'm pretty sure you sign your life away on that stuff for just about anything you do. It doesn't mean somebody's going to find a loophole to try and sue somebody anyway. But I'm pretty sure by, you know, agreeing to either go on planes, cruise lines, whatever, you're signing something and agreeing that if something happens, you don't sue them. Yet there's always some you don't need any type of actual, you know, anyway, you can sue for whatever you want is what I'm saying. So that would be, you know, I have to see how that one would play out. But yeah, there was a lot of different questions, a lot of different remarks. There were some concerns in there. So if you want to check out, that article, we posted that up. That's called the CDC Post Public Comments on Cruise Ship Restart. I published that a few days ago. So check that on Travel Pulse. And with that,
certainly some interesting remarks on that. The CDC, the deadline is September 21st. So if you haven't made your voice heard yet and you want to, you can definitely do that with the CDC. You have until September 21st.
great. And with that, I think now we can get into our interview. I'm glad to have this next gentleman on the podcast. I've traveled with him and his wife a little bit. So Eric, introduce our next guest.
That's right. Now joining us on the Travel Pulse podcast is travel advisor, Stephen Scott. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, Stephen. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, how you got started in the industry and your background and everything.
Yes, thanks. So I'm currently a travel advisor with Pro Travel International here in Chicago, and I run my own company within that brand. So I'm the founder and CEO of Travel Hub 365. We've been now operating for 5 years. We're a luxury-focused brand handling entertainment accounts, corporate accounts, luxury leisure, and large family events as well. So I've actually been in the industry since 2004. I started my time at United Airlines at the corporate offices here in Chicago. I spent a good 4 years there in various sales roles. And then I extended myself over to the leisure side with Royal Caribbean down in Miami. I spent five fantastic years there doing everything from training our internal call centers across the U.S. To then receiving an Employee of the Year award. I then got promoted and I started working in New York City with Royal Caribbean as the business development manager for Manhattan, Brooklyn, Bronx, and Staten Island. So, you know, I have experience from multiple different levels of corporate airline sales to cruise sales to agency sales and just trying to help agents across New York City build their business and learn how to just navigate the travel world from a cruise standpoint. But for the last 5 years, I have been on that side, working to build my book of business and grow our client base and make our customers happy. So it has absolutely been an exciting number of years. I've seen a lot happen, and I'm excited for what we're going to have going forward because it's a very important time in our industry.
Definitely. So that's quite the versatile background there. Love to see it. So we're talking luxury travel here, though. So, you know, luxury travel means different things to a lot of different people. But, you know, broad-wise, what is the future for luxury travel? Do you envision luxury travel jumping right back post-COVID? Or do you think it will take a little bit longer to rebound due to the financial impacts for several different travelers?
You know, I think, you know, from a luxury standpoint, there's a start and stop that's going to continue to happen. I think from a broad perspective, consumers are going to be looking for, you know, those stories, those amazing experiences, those news stories that are going to be talking to us about the goods and the bads of what's happening around the world. And the amazing thing is that there are people traveling right now. And so, you know, there's a consumer segment out there that they really didn't slow down. And what I mean by that is that, you know, one major example is private jet travel. Private jet travel is booming right now. And so, you know, what that means is that the larger airline carriers may not be able to get you to a destination, or the large cruise lines can't get you to a destination, but a private jet has been that go-to type of thing for the luxury segment. So what I find is that we still are making bookings for the higher end guest, internationally even. We've in the last couple of weeks, we've booked, you know, very nice hotels over in Berlin for customers that are in Europe. We just last night booked another Baltimore Four Seasons for another guest here in DC. So it's really it's regionally, but it's also about those stories. We want to know what destinations are going to work for us. But I definitely think the luxury segment is going to go much faster or come back much faster than the discount experience. I think if you're going to spend the money, you want to make sure everything is okay. And I don't know if that discount experience is giving people all the good feelings they want to have about making sure things are safe.
Yeah, Stephen, I agree. And I was talking that a little bit earlier in the episode, mentioning that if you're going to spend the money, you want to make sure that everything is there and you're getting the, you know, the most out of it completely across the board. So I want to give people a little bit of background because we've been involved, you've been involved, you and your wife have both been involved with myself and our company with our Millennial Travel Forums. I was down in Los Angeles with your wife. You came to the one in Antigua. Very good events that we've put on. We bring the best of the best there, and we are glad to have both of you there. And with those two, I found it interesting with those two that you guys were involved with, those two destinations, very opposite ends of the spectrum as far as destinations go between Antigua and Los Angeles, but both of them have very plenty to serve to the luxury market, a lot to give there. Which of these two destinations would you think would have more appeal in the near future? Because Eric and I have been talking about this a lot. You have, on one hand, the international island destination where you got to go through a few different restrictions and hoops to jump through in order to get admitted with negative tests and all that. And on the other hand, you have a domestic city-like destination which has been hit pretty hard by COVID, and I'm not sure exactly there what, you know, if travel there is big right now, if there's stuff you can do. So between those two, what do you see even in the near future, the coming months or year, which of those do you think would be good for the luxury market?
Sure. You know, neither is ideal. You know, we're trying to figure that out for our clients. Never in the last 5 years have I had so many people contact me and say, Stephen, where do I go? Usually people come to me and say, Stephen, I want to go to Barbados, and this is, you know, my parameters. Now people don't understand, you know, what has changed, what's new, what do they have to be concerned about? But I do feel that whether or not the destination has hoops to jump through, or there's you know, requirements that they have to do as far as what they can do once they get to the destination, it's about safety. So what we can actually find, not necessarily with LA, but Vegas can be our example. As much as they closed at first and then they started to open up, you saw this spike in bookings and people going to Las Vegas. But once we started to have the COVID cases increase in that destination, the bookings went off a cliff. So that could be our closest and most obvious visual on, you know, will people just run to a destination if they think it's safe, or will they run to a destination because they feel like, well, I got to jump through hoops, but at least I know they are taking the steps necessary to ensure that I'm safe upon arrival. And so, you know, neither is ideal, but safety is going to be your most important thing that you are concerned about. And I would not go to a destination that has high cases of COVID or they have little restrictions in place for the people that are traveling from wherever they're coming from. I would rather go to a destination that has controls in place. They have testing in place. And they're doing what they can to ensure that we understand what those things are in place in advance. So I think it's about safety rather than worried about the things we have to go through to get to that destination.
Definitely. Safety is on everyone's mind these days for sure, as is money. So agents and advisors looking to sell more expensive luxury trips with a lot behind them. I think every travel advisor listening to this right now would love to sell more luxury travel because there's more money in it. So what are the biggest things needed to get these types of clients? Anything new or different to be done in this new normal now for travel advisors?
Yes, I definitely, you know, if you don't understand as an advisor what the words business development means, then you're going to be behind the ball. You really have to take into account not only the situation you're in, but that there are customers that need our help that are unaware of what we can do for them. They're unaware that travel advisors still exist. There are people spending thousands of dollars with online travel agencies that they're still saying to themselves, I wish I could get more help with this. And they're unaware. So from a business development standpoint, you know, we've got to get creative. We've got to be innovative. We've got to work our community channels and definitely utilize our technology as much as we can. Some things that I've always done are things that I see from other advisors who have come from the supplier side, like myself. Business development is so critical because you can book someone 2 years ago and completely forget about them now. And that customer is forgetting about you as well, even though you did an amazing job. So you've got to be able to capture your critical bookings that you had in the past, keep contact with those customers, educate them along the way about not only your services, but what you see happening in the world. And then also be available. You know, there are important things that happen within business development for that, but it's really about reaching out to as many of your key clients as you can in a regular basis, and then showing them that you're still available. But I definitely think innovation is going to take a hit right now because people don't necessarily have the funds coming in. And I think every agency, from the larger agency to the smaller agency, they don't have the income coming in like they did before. But now is the time to be reaching out to those customers. And I think the biggest thing from an advisor, I have seen on many different community travel agent boards, agents saying, oh, I'm not reaching out to my customers right now because it's just not the right time. Yet you turn on the TV and our customers are getting advertised to by hotels.com, by Airbnb, by Kayak. They're getting hammered. And so for us to sit back and say, we're not going to do that type of advertising, or we're not going to reach out to our customers, those customers are going to go somewhere else. So you have to develop your business and take this critical time to find those customers that are traveling. And I assure you, those luxury travelers, they are starting to find a way to get out of Dodge because they might still actually have resources and money available in their back pocket.
It's a very good point you bring up with the different advertising that travelers are seeing anywhere, especially TV advertising right now. A lot of these advertisers have dollars locked in and they're doing the feel-good messaging and just trying to utilize it as much as possible, which with a travel advisor who's not somebody as big as Kayak or Priceline or something like that, or Expedia, having that personal connection, that business development, like you said, bringing all that in, like the BDMs that a lot of advisors talk to at suppliers, having that is crucial, and you definitely use that right now by connecting with everybody. So definitely a great piece of advice there. As far as the destinations, I know, you know, we were just talking about the differences between a couple there and ensuring safety for everybody. That's top of mind for every traveler right now. What would you recommend for advisors out there selling luxury clients on traveling right now, both domestic and international? Do you have any recommendations for destinations in those?
Yes. You know, things are so fluid and constantly changing. What I say now, if someone is listening to this 3 months from now, they may think I'm nuts, but as of the current situation, we definitely, there are regional things that you can look for. And so, you know, regionally, I would say you've got definitely those cold weather places. You know, look for places in Colorado that can get you out into the mountains, get you out into national parks. Those are really going to be amazing things because if you look at it this way, people that live in New York City, they don't constantly go to the Statue of Liberty. I knew that from living there for a while. People in Miami, yes, they're going to run to the beach, but they're not necessarily going to go to Key West every 5 minutes. But now is the time when you've got those local destinations that you can be able to get out to. So I would definitely recommend national parks domestically, and then internationally, we have amazing places that are opening right now. People just may not be aware of it. So we've got a customer leaving in a couple of weeks. He's going to be he's based in Boston, but he's actually going to be doing a charter yacht through the Greek islands. So Greece is a destination that is available. It's open for us. You just got to get there properly. It's a little bit harder, but you can get there. But he's doing something out of the norm. And so you've got Greece available. You've got the United Arab Emirates available. Mexico has almost become a domestic type of thing for Americans now because it's close and it's warm weather and it's got a lot of excitement to it. So, you know, and I think the next kind of big continent to open up for us that's going to become more popular than before is going to be South America. I think they've done a good job of controlling the virus. It's not so far away for all of them.
Interesting. A Greek cruise. I'd love to do that right now myself. Does any room for one additional passenger there? Can I get on? Right, that would be nice. So.
Yeah, I had to go through a lot of different vendors to find a bareback yacht for him that he's going to be able to sail with him and his friends and fiance and all of them to get through those islands. You know, we had to pinpoint a couple different places for him to stop, a couple different options as far as the boat. The boat is actually just completed now. He's going to be sailing on it in a couple of weeks. It's like a brand new Ferrari. So I'm really excited. Wow. He's going to have a great time.
That's amazing. You know, that's just goes to show, work with a travel advisor and they can make things happen for you in amazing ways. So that's really cool. So what are some of the most luxury places you've experienced in your travels, both domestically and internationally? So when, you know, restrictions are lifted, we're looking, to 2021, what are some other places that you've experienced that really blew you away in terms of luxury travel?
Yeah, there have been so many different places I've been to, and it has, in some ways, in many ways, actually changed my perspective on what luxury travel is. You'll go into a destination as a travel advisor to tour a couple different properties. You'll have a couple in mind that you'll say, you know what? Everyone talks about this hotel. And then you get there and you say, you know what? I don't know if this isn't something I can recommend to my clients for X, Y, or Z. Sometimes it comes down to service. And sometimes it comes down to the quality of the materials and the privacy that you have. And so I think that luxury is going to be defined by the privacy of the destination, or not just the destination, the privacy of the hotel and the resort that you're going to be at. And then also the service and quality of the experience you're going to have. It's not necessarily about that name brand anymore. I do think those name brands are going to capture a lot of clients right off the bat, because you're going to say, hey, Ritz-Carlton, they're going to definitely be amazing. And they're going to capture the client first. But after that tier, that next level of luxury tier, you're going to have hotels that people haven't always spoken of, but you're going to say that is luxury. So Abu Dhabi, for example, I spent a week in the UAE. I was incredibly surprised at the different groups and travelers that I saw there. I saw at least 5 or 6 large African American groups going through there. I was so proud of them. I said, hey, you know what? We're getting out to expand into different destinations. But while I was there, the Emirates Palace, that is just a grand, amazing place to be at. And the rooms were expansive. The service was stellar. The dining venues were amazing. And just the property itself, it's located directly next to the presidential palace for the UAE. So if you can imagine, it was as amazing as you can imagine a palace. Really there are great properties all across the UAE, but that's something I recommend in Abu Dhabi. And then a more private experience was in the Dominican Republic. There's a luxury villa property called Ani there that I got to spend some time with a few amazing friends of mine. And you're basically on this smaller property that has its own private beaches, its own private villa areas, and you're just surrounded by just absolute paradise. But everything there was luxurious. The service was impeccable. The chefs cook you whatever you want, whenever you want it. And it just made the experience just so amazing. So, and then lastly, domestically, I would think about great properties like the Waldorf Astoria in Beverly Hills. That was just truly a special experience from the start of the arrival to the Rolls Royce ghost that they take you around town in, to the service and the level of quality and the materials that you have while you're there. So, there's just so much. I could keep going on and on, but those are the best parts of my job, when I really get to talk to someone about what is exciting, what is new, and what can we do. So I do hope we all get back on our feet soon, because there's a lot of world out there to explore.
Definitely is. And thank you for those, all your insights, different places there. I know I definitely want to go to Dubai myself. That's definitely on a bucket list for me. Let all the listeners know where they can find you, get in touch with you, social media, website, things like that.
Sure. Thank you. Our main focus is on travelhub365.com. We've got a fantastic social media following with at travelhub365. You'll find us everywhere, from Instagram to Facebook, Twitter, and even on TikTok. So, join in on the fun. You can find us there. You'll find us all across media as well. Travel Pulse has truly been an excellent support structure for us. I thank you all for including me in on this podcast. and of course, including me in on other stories. You guys have been fantastic. Thanks again.
Thanks, Stephen. We really appreciate it, man. It's great stuff here.
Right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks again to Stephen Scott. We really appreciate that. If you'd like to be on the podcast or reach out with any feedback or any topics you'd love for us to discuss on here, podcast@travelpulse.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening. And that's all the time we have for this week. Have a great one.